The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
It's going to be a beautiful planet. Obviously, if the New Jerusalem is beautiful, all the cities are going to be beautiful. Now, maybe the most beautiful will be New Jerusalem, but everything, even your New Chicago, assuming we have the United States on the New Earth, which we don't know for sure, but all of it is going to be fantastic.
Who wants to sit on a cloud and play a harp for all eternity? If that's your idea of heaven, then today's broadcast is just for you. Welcome to Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and I'm super excited that you've decided to join us today. We're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, heaven. This episode is part of our series called The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. You can also go deeper on this subject by getting our book of the same name. I'll tell you how to do that at the end of the broadcast. But for now, let's jump right into the discussion. Here's Sean and Bob with Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
My name is Bob Wilkin.
Well, in the last program, we were discussing the topic of heaven. And we found that in the Bible, there's actually three heavens. The first heaven is where the birds fly. The second heaven is where the planets and stars are. And the third heaven is where God's presence is. And we discovered that although most people think they're going to spend forever in heaven with God, that's not quite true. What the Bible teaches is that after you die, your spirit goes to the third heaven to be in God's special presence only until the new earth is created. And once the new earth is created, that's where believers will be in resurrected bodies living on the new earth for eternity. But that raises a pretty important question. What is this new earth? Where does the Bible describe the new earth? Where can we read about it? Well, the two main chapters where you can read about the new earth is at the very end of your Bibles in the book of Revelation, chapters 21 and 22. And Bob wrote a book called 10 Most Misunderstood Words of the Bible. And in the chapter on heaven, he actually goes through these two chapters in Revelation, and he has made a number of points describing what this new earth is going to be about and what it's going to be like. And so, Bob, if you'd like to, I'd like to go over some of these points with you about what about this new earth. Revelation chapter 21, the first thing is this going to be a metaphorical place or what?
No, it's a literal place. Notice verse 1 of Revelation 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. The fact that he talks about the sea shows he's talking about a literal planet. Also, the fact that he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away. By heaven, he means basically everything outside of our solar system, or at least outside of the earth. And by earth, he's referring to our planet. And he's saying there's going to be a new earth, just like there is the current earth.
It's important to remember that, in some sense, all of human history is kind of like a detour. When God created the world in Genesis 1 to 3, his intention was for that to be man's home, you know, eternal home. That was God's original plan. And that is what we see God returning to in Revelation 21 and 22.
Exactly. In fact, in Genesis 3:8, God used to walk with Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the day. I believe that's a reference to the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ, and that he would walk with Adam and Eve on the planet. And if they had not sinned, it seems that God would have dwelled with man on earth forever. Jesus is coming again, and he's going to rule and reign. And guess what city he's going to rule and reign from?
Chicago.
The new Chicago. It's amazing. No, try again. How about Jerusalem? The new Jerusalem.
Wow.
We're told in Scripture that Israel was actually a city elect by God or chosen by God. And it's been chosen to be the place where Messiah will rule from forever.
So we have a new planet, a real planet. Where are we going to live?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, this new Jerusalem is going to be bigger than any of our countries right now. It'll be 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles, And it's going to be 1,500 miles high, although we don't know what that means exactly. Maybe it's going to be like a pyramid, or maybe it's going to have something going up high at the top. But in any regard, it's going to be this ginormous city. Theologians speculate that maybe what will happen is every single believer from the church age will have a dwelling there, like we'll have a condo there.
What did Jesus promise? Didn't he promise he's going to prepare a place?
I'm going to prepare a place for John 14:1-3. Yeah. It seems to me that believers will have, from the church age, will have a dwelling there. And of course, Jewish believers will have a dwelling in Israel. Now, whether they'll be living in the New Jerusalem or not, I don't know, because Israel will likely be bigger than the New Jerusalem. But in any case, I think we as church-age believers will primarily live among the nations.
So there's going to be nations. That also tells me there's going to be a political system.
Oh, there will be.
There are kings over nations.
Right.
There's travel on this new earth.
Right.
They're coming to Jesus to give these gifts.
Right. And they're going to be giving this tribute, these gifts, every year, evidently. So we know there will be nations. We know the key nation will be Israel, and the key city will be Jerusalem. And by the way, according to some prophecies like Isaiah 40 and verse 4 and also Revelation 16 and verse 20, there's going to be a change in the topography of the earth. Today, the Himalayas, right? They're the highest mountain, almost 30,000 feet. Then Jerusalem's going to be the highest mountain. The most exalted city on earth will be Jerusalem. And then, of course, it's going to extend up into, if you don't even take the city, just the mountain it's sitting on will be the highest. So it's going to be a phenomenal place. We're told in Revelation 21 that the New Jerusalem is going to have 12 gates made of pearl. It's going to have a foundation with 12 different layers made of precious stones. We're told that the streets in the New Jerusalem will be made of gold. The buildings will be made of gold as well.
Now, a lot of people kind of, they've probably read these verses, they've read these chapters, and they will have heard those descriptions, and they would have been told that these are symbolic. You know, the city's not going to be that big. We're not actually going to have streets literally made out of gold. What would you say to those people?
I'd say, no, this isn't symbolic. This is stated in the Word of God. There's nothing to hint that these are symbols. It's going to be a beautiful planet. Obviously, if the New Jerusalem is beautiful, all the cities are going to be beautiful. Now, maybe the most beautiful will be New Jerusalem, but everything, even your New Chicago, assuming we have the United States on the New Earth, which we don't know for sure, but all of it is going to be fantastic. It'll be kind of like returning to Eden. In fact, Ezekiel 36:35 probably is talking about the millennial Jerusalem and how beautiful it will be. Whatever Jerusalem is like during the millennium, it'll be even better on the new earth and in eternity. And by the way, Jesus' throne will be there,
well,
too.
Well, I was just going to say, let's go to the top of chapter 22. And in the first verse, we read this. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. So there is a throne there.
Yes, it's the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's also the throne of David. Because remember, there was a promise made to David in the Old Testament that David would have a descendant ruling forever. And that descendant, the ultimate son of David, is the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, remember one of the favorite ways he was referred to in the Gospels was Son of David.
Son of David. The blind man cried
right
out to him. Well, in the second verse of chapter 22 says, in the middle of its street, so there are streets there.
Right.
And on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, this is very interesting because we read about a single tree of life in Genesis that was placed in the middle of the garden.
Right.
But this is more than one. It's on either side of the river. It's more than one tree. It's producing more than one kind of fruit. What's the difference here?
Well, there's lots of things we can get from this verse, but we don't have a lot of time. But one thing we get is that the tree of life from the book of Genesis is coming back, and its purpose will not be to give people eternal life. Its purpose will be to enhance the life of people.
It says here, it's for the healing of the nations. So again, you have the nations, and they need some type of healing.
Okay, now, it's not the fruit that's for the healing of the nations, it's the leaves.
That's right, the leaves.
And this suggests that there may be some injuries and things in eternity. We know there'll be no pain because Revelation 21:4 says there'll be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering. But this will be for a healing. But one thing that's also interesting is this tree of life, which is kind of a, there's many of them, and it's kind of a species of tree, it's going to yield 12 different fruits.
Right.
Well, this tells us there's going to be 12 months.
Right, that's
just
right.
Like today.
Right.
And so we're going to have, evidently, days and weeks and months and years. Our experience of time will certainly be different, so we're never going to get bored. It'll probably be like with the Lord, 1,000 years is as a day. And a day is like 1,000 years. So every day is going to be full, but every day is going to seem like it's full, but it always anticipates the next day, and after 1,000 years, it's like, wow, we just got started.
Very interesting. So this must be blowing your mind. You probably never read these verses in the Bible, or if you did, you never really thought about, wow, what is it really going to be like? If you're interested in reading more about this, I really encourage you to pick up Bob's book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. I mean, there's just so much to say about this, isn't there, Bob?
There really is. If you remember at the Last Supper, Jesus says, I won't drink the fruit of the vine with you until I come again in my kingdom. That means that the Lord Jesus is going to be having banquets during the millennium and on the new earth. So we're going to evidently enjoy food and wine forever. And it'll be part of the fellowship of the kingdom. Also, we're going to be serving Christ. Revelation 22 tells us that his servants will serve him. So we'll serve him forever, and those who are faithful will rule with him. It's something to greatly look forward to.
So the bottom line here is that the new earth, according to Revelation 21 and 22, will be a literal, physical, tangible place, just as it was at the beginning of creation. We will not be floating around on clouds. We're not going to be living as disembodied spirits. You might have kind of gotten that idea from movies and paintings and whatnot. That's not what the Bible says. We're going to live on an actual earth with glorified bodies, walking with Jesus.
Amen.
On real streets and real cities.
Yes.
And real nations, where he is going to be King of Kings. Isn't that an amazing thought?
Hallelujah. That's exactly right.
Thank you, Sean and Bob, for that great discussion about heaven, especially the description we find in Revelation 20 and 21. That's something we don't talk about a lot, but how exciting to think that that's in our future if we've believed in Jesus for eternal life. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, today's show was about heaven. You can imagine what's coming next. We've got to talk about it. Hell. In tomorrow's episode, find out what you need to know about that uncomfortable topic. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.